I want to draw your attention in Daniel chapter 9, verses 7 through to 9. Our text, Daniel 9, verses 7 through to 9. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Tonight, I want to speak to you about belongings. Belongings. Verses 4 through to 19 of this chapter is the heavy-hearted prayer of Daniel the prophet. Out of a deeply meditative spirit, he has been studying the scriptures, especially the book of Jeremiah, the prophet. And in a study of the Word of God, God has melted his heart, broken his heart, and yet encouraged him with the promises. And now out of that heart, Daniel cries this prayer of confession and of repentance and of renewed faith in the Lord. He seeks pardon for his and his people's sins. But he doesn't pray as one who's self-righteous. Those who are self-righteous, who pray as if they have never sinned, and who look down on others, they're the sinners, and others are their sinners. But no, Daniel, he includes himself among the sinners, and he prays himself as one who feels himself to be a sinner. And that really stands out in this prayer, and especially in the words of our text, verses 7 through to 10. He knows what belongs to him, and he knows what belongs to all his fellow sinners, and he knows what belongs to God. And I want to speak about those belongings tonight. What belongs to us sinners? And what belongs to God? Now that might sound like a two-point sermon, and indeed it might be a two-point sermon, we could do it that way, but I want to take 3 points, 3 heads. I think it's important to do that, and I trust you will see why as we progress through the message. You see, Daniel has 3 points in our text on this matter of belongings. He begins with something that belongs to God. Then he comes to something that belongs to us as sinners. And then he comes back again to something more that belongs to God. So he starts with God. He comes to themselves as sinners. And then he comes back again to God and looks at the belongings in all of these 3 areas. He kind of starts with law. And then he comes to sin, and then he comes to the gospel. And you see that in our text. He begins with the Lord in verse 7. O Lord, righteousness belongs unto thee. And then he gets what belongs to us, but unto us, confusion of faces. And again in verse 8, O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of faces. And then he gets back to the other things that belong to God in verse 9. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses. So he has 3 points in this matter of belongings, and it's no accident that he takes it that way, as we shall see. First of all then, to God belongs righteousness. Isn't that what he says in verse 7? O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee. It doesn't belong to us. I mean, that's really the first thing the sinner has to learn. He hasn't got any righteousness. Righteousness doesn't belong to the sinner. That's for sure. Daniel knows that. He implies that in our text. He doesn't pray as one that righteousness belongs to. He prays as one who doesn't have any righteousness. It's not our property. None of us possess righteousness, no matter how good we think we are. It's not in our possession. The Bible teaches that, and our own consciences are clear in that matter, if we've been taught of God. And I trust that everybody here knows that. That you do not possess a self-righteousness. It doesn't belong to you. Unconverted sinners might think they have it. Unconverted sinners might think they have a righteousness. But we know that the devil blinds men, and men also, they delude themselves, and they imagine that they possess a self-righteousness of their own. But it's a delusion. It's not true. We will see what belongs to us in a wee moment, but it's not righteousness. As it is written, the Apostle Paul said, quoting from the Old Testament scriptures, there is none righteous. No, not one. There's not one who has a righteousness. It belongs to God alone. And we sometimes talk as if we have a righteousness in ourselves. And even Christians can fall into that self-pride of thinking themselves better than others and thinking themselves righteous and not having any sense of their utter unworthiness still. But God's word brings us back to reality. It tells us the truth about ourselves when we come to the mirror of the book, and it really lets us know what our righteousness is, what our good works really amount to, and what the best we can really do comes to. You remember how the prophet said, we are all as an unclean thing, and our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's what we possess. Our righteousnesses, we may, if we think them something, but to God, they're just filthy rags. None of us have a self-righteousness. We don't possess it. We don't have it. We don't own it. Paul himself said, not having mine own righteousness. You see, when he was a Pharisee, he thought he did. But he realized it was just filthy rags, and he, as it were, just gave it all up, his trust in it, and he said, not having mine own righteousness. I don't have a self-righteousness anymore. It's not something I dress myself in or trust in. He knew it was all a delusion, that there was no such a thing. And for decades he thought he had it, but until the Lord opened his eyes, he realized that it wasn't a true righteousness. That, you see, men and women, only belongs to the Lord. To thee belongeth righteousness. He is the righteous Lord who loveth righteousness. So often the psalmist is telling us this. He says, for example, in Psalm 119, verse 137, righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Psalm 145, verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. So righteousness belongs to God. And whenever righteousness is ascribed to God, it is usually to highlight the nature of his works. Because how do you know righteousness? You know it in works. And whenever it's referring to God's righteousness, it's usually referring to his works' righteousness, the righteous things that he does. And that's what the prophet is referring to. He's referring to God's works, his righteous works, his righteousness that is manifested by his deeds and by his doings. You see, works reveal whether righteousness really belongs to you or not. And we, by our works, show that it doesn't belong to us. But God, by his works, he is always showing that it belongs to him. He's always righteous in everything that he does. And God's works reveal his righteousness. And God has a work righteousness. A work righteousness. We don't. Isaiah the prophet said, I will declare thy righteousness and thy works. It's a works righteousness. And Daniel emphasizes this, for example, in verse 14. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. Talking about the Lord's works. The Lord's brought evil upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works. And this is what Daniel means when he says, to you belong righteousness in everything that you have done to Israel, Lord. You've been righteous. But we haven't done righteous. That's what Daniel is saying. That's what he means. We don't have this work righteousness, for we have not obeyed your voice, Lord. But Lord, your deeds vindicate you, and they show you to be righteous. And that's what Daniel is saying. He's vindicating God. We can never blame God. And the sinner has to get to the place where he stops blaming God. And he has to get to the place where he says, I don't have any righteousness, but Lord, you are righteous in all that you do with me. And the sinner has to be brought to that place, the place of submission to God, the place of submission to the righteousness of God. Paul talks about this. We are not sinners because of God's unrighteousness. We can never point the finger to God and say, you made us this. It's your fault. It's not true. He is righteous in all his ways, and our fallen state is due to ourselves, and the misery is our own. God created our father Adam upright. He sought out evil inventions, and we follow in his steps. And Daniel doesn't blame God. He says, Lord, to righteousness belongs to you. You were righteous in sending your prophets to warn us. You were righteous in giving us the word of God. You rose up early every morning and you sent out your preachers to us. You were so righteous. You give us warnings of the evil that would come upon us if we continued in our sins. And then whenever you sent us out of Jerusalem in the exile, you were righteous. And whenever you took away our temple from Jerusalem and caused the holy mountain to become, as it were, burned with fire, you were righteous. You were righteous in sending us sicknesses and plagues and chastisements. You were righteous in exiling us to Babylon. That's what Daniel's saying. Righteousness belongs to you, even though we're in this miserable estate. It's our fault. We're not here for our righteousness, but you're righteous. And the sinner needs to know that. The Bible says righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. And even the Bible closes in the book of the Revelation with chapter 19, verse 2, true and righteous are his judgments. In righteousness he doth judge and make war. Moses said, he is the rock, his work is perfect. As for all his ways, their judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. And as sinners, we need to stand in the shoes of Daniel and stop doting on our supposed holiness, on our supposed integrity and righteousness, as if we possess that purely and wholly. Because I'm talking about a perfect righteousness, a righteousness without fault and without sin, and we don't have it. No matter how good we try, no matter how holy we attain, try to be, we do not have a works righteousness. It doesn't belong to us. And we'll never get it by our deeds. But it always belongs to God. It belongs to Him. He is righteous in all His ways. And that's why we come short of the glory of God, and we don't reach the mark. And that's why, men and women, we can never be saved by a self-righteousness, for we don't have one. And Daniel knows that, and he prays about that. So if we have no righteousness of our own to get us to heaven, what then belongs unto us? What does belong to us? What do we possess? And that's where we come to the second point in our theme, belongings. Daniel tells the Lord what the sinner possesses, what is rightfully ours. He describes it as confusion of face. Verse 7, O Lord, righteousness belongs unto thee. But now thinking about what belongs to us, but unto us, confusion of faces. That's what we have. That's what we possess. That's what belongs to us. We have confusion of faces. And he repeats it again in verse 8. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face. So he's really emphasizing this. He's really making this point. We don't have this righteousness. You only, Lord, possess it. But as for us, we have this confusion, this shamefacedness. That's all we have. That's what is rightfully ours as sinners. That's all that belongs to us. We can come before the righteous judge with nothing but confusion of face. And that's how Daniel comes. There's no self-righteousness here. Nothing in my hand I bring. I just have the shamefacedness. That's all I possess. We can't lift up our heads with pride, men and women, in God's presence. We can't come into God's presence with a glowing face as if we have righteousness of our own. No, no. That's not coming in honestly before God. We have to come in honestly before God, and we have to come in with what we do own and what we do possess. Confusion of face. Parable of the Pharisee and the publican really illustrates this, doesn't it? You remember how the parable was spoken by the Lord Jesus to them who trusted in themselves that they had righteousness. They thought they possessed it. They thought they had this righteousness as their property. And the Lord spoke this very parable to them. And he said about the Pharisee who went in thinking that way, and he said, I thank you, I'm not like other men. He lifts up his head proudly to God. I thank you, I do this, I give tithes, I help the poor, I fast so many days in the week. Oh, I have a righteousness, and I'm certainly not like that publican down there who's just a miserable sinner. And the Lord speaking this to those who think they possess a righteousness. And it's all a delusion and a deceit. They don't have it at all. The man thought he was righteous. And the poor publican, he knew better. He knew that shamefacedness belonged to him. And he couldn't even go into the meeting. He couldn't even certainly go to the front. And he couldn't even lift his eyes up to heaven. He just bowed his head and he beat upon his breast as if to say, I'm ashamed and I'm humbled. And so there's this shamefacedness, and it belongs to him, and he acknowledges it. That's all I can honestly, nothing in my hand I bring. In which position do we stand tonight? Do we own our shamefacedness because of our sins? Or are we proud and look down at others and think they're the miserable sinners and we're the holy boys? How do you think? How do you feel before God? Daniel highlights why confusion of face is ours. He twice states it, as I said. It says there, for example, in the verse 7, at the end of verse 7, to us belong confusion of face, and after he says a whole lot of things, he says, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. That's why confusion of face belongs to us, because of our trespasses and sins against thee. And he repeats it again in different words in verse 8. O Lord, to us belongs confusion of face, to our kings, our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. This is our property, because sin is our property. All we have is sin. Now, some have more sins than others, it's true, but we all have sins. We have no self-righteousness, but we've plenty of sins throughout our duration of our life. Sinfulness belongs to us. Sinfulness is what we possess. And therefore we have nothing to be proud of. And none of us, as I say, can look down at others. And others are not scum, and we somehow are good and righteous. No. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's universal. And Daniel paints the universality of sin in a remarkable way. He points out the universality of the confusion of face in a remarkable way. If I can just quickly identify it to you, it's universal. He says, for example, in there in verse 7, to us confusion of faces, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, all Israel, those who are near and those who are far off, through all the countries, wherever you've driven them. It's universal. It's the whole nation. It's all the people, wherever they are, wherever country they dwell. Daniel says it belongs to us all as the human race. It's universal. And it belongs to us too, men and women. Far off or near, or in whatever country, in Northern Ireland tonight, we're included. And then in verse 8 he says, O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers. Universal. In the first part he's thinking about places and distance and geography, but in the second part he's thinking about the universality of the social order, whether kings or princes or fathers or whatever. Doesn't matter what you're standing in society. Doesn't matter what part of the world you're in. To everybody belongs the confusion of face. That's all we have as sinners. That's our rightful possession, our sinfulness, and the shamefacedness that ought to result from it. Another thing that needs to be underlined are the words against thee. Now, this confusion belongs to us because we've sinned against thee, verse 8, and again, verse 9 at the end, we have rebelled against him, against thee, against him. It says against thee twice, verses 7 and 8, and it says against him once, verse 9. Who is that that we have rebelled and sinned against? The righteous one. The one to whom righteousness belongs. We have sinned against him. And that's the law coming and awakening us and convicting us. And that makes sin to be so wicked. And that's what makes it so abominable. Because it is against a righteous God. We are such sinners, men and women. And that's really what I've been trying to highlight tonight. None of us are accepted. All of us are sinners. We are all an unclean thing. Do we feel it? Do we realize it? Do we, like Daniel, come into the presence of a holy God with the realization that it is so, that, Lord, you're righteous in all your ways, and all I have is sin? Three verbs define our vileness: trespassed, sinned, rebelled. But men and women, our plight, as terrible as it is, having offended this righteous God, our plight is not hopeless. Though our belongings would plunge us into hell, through the property of God's righteousness, and though his righteousness may cause us terror, as it did to Martin Luther, because he had a realization of the righteousness of God, and it terrified him. And the more he tried to be saved by a self-righteousness and through the law, he realized he could never possess this self-righteousness. And he almost despaired, until he learned one day God possesses other things besides. There's something else that belongs to God. And Daniel comes to the gospel. The Bible is not all law, and it is not only law. There is gospel. And we come to our third point, which is a gospel point. Verse 9, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses. There is hope, therefore, for while God possesses righteousness, he does not possess that only. There is grace, and there is provision from him in Jesus Christ, because God has the belongings of mercy and forgiveness. Isn't that wonderful? Even though, notice it at the end of verse 9, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, even though we have rebelled against him. To God belongs grace, even though we've sinned against him. To God belongs compassion, even though we've rebelled. So the Lord is merciful and forgiving, and he possesses these things for us sinners. And that's where our hope is, and that's where the heart of the gospel lies. You see, the Lord proclaims himself not only as righteous, but he also proclaims himself as merciful. It's his name. You remember Moses wanted to see the glory of the Lord, and the Lord put him into a hole, as it were, kind of thing, and he passed by before him, and the Lord himself proclaimed his own name. And what did he say? He said, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands. He keeps mercy. He possesses it. He stores it up, and he has it for thousands and thousands. Belongs to him. He doesn't keep it to himself. He gives it richly to sinners in the gospel. Mercies for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. That's his name. That's what belongs to him. The psalmist is always highlighting this property in God. Also unto thee, O Lord, he says, belongeth mercy. It belongs to you, Lord. There is forgiveness with thee, he says in Psalm 130, verse 4. You possess it. This forgiveness is your property. It's with you and with you alone. It's not with the priest. It's not with the minister. It's your possession, God. The Pharisees were right. Who can forgive sins but God only? They just happened to be wrong on the person of Jesus Christ, who did forgive sins as the God-man. Let the Israel hope in the Lord, for with him is mercy and plenteous redemption. Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy, a God full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and in truth. And that's the good news of the Bible. There is forgiveness with thee. Mercy, forgiveness are the belongings of God. That God we've sinned against, even though we've rebelled against him. The order is right too, men and women. Mercy and forgiveness. Because forgiveness flows out of grace and mercy. Mercy is the source and forgiveness is the result. Mercy obtains forgiveness, as we know, in the person and work of his Son, Jesus Christ. All this property can only be dispersed to us through the Savior. He's the channel by which this rich property of God comes to us sinners. The gospel is about the forgiveness of sins. I want to highlight too the plurality that the prophet uses in the words. He says, to the Lord our God belongs not just mercy and forgiveness, but mercies and forgivenesses. Plural. Plurality denotes intensity. Plurality denotes sufficiency and availability. We have so many sins. We have multiplicity of sins. We have plurality of sins. Is there sufficiency with God to deal with them all? Yes, sinner, there is. Because with him is mercies and forgivenesses. Multitudes of forgivenesses. Forgivenesses for the sins of your heart. Forgivenesses for the sins of your thoughts. Forgivenesses for the sins of your words and of your actions. If you but repent in his presence with confusion of face and honesty of heart. Notice how we come to participate in them. This mercy and forgivenesses. You notice how the prophet puts it, to the Lord our God belongs mercies and forgivenesses. And we come to participate in this property of the Lord of his grace in our union with him in Jesus Christ. When he becomes our God in covenant grace, whenever we take him and possess him and take him as our Lord and Savior and are trusting in him and united to him by faith, we have access to mercy and forgiveness to the Lord our God, our gracious God, our Savior God in Jesus Christ, whom we take hold of by faith. And in all our honesty and the confession of our absence of righteousness, we just seek him for his mercy and grace. And we obtain it too. An alien righteousness. A righteousness that is not our own, but which he graciously imparts to us, imputes to us in the grace of justification. Justified freely through his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And therefore tonight, the sinner need not despair. Mercy can be found. The forgivenesses for all your sins can be obtained. Do not listen to the lie of the devil. Do not give heed to the father of lies, but listen to the God of truth, to whom belongs mercy and forgiveness. You can be forgiven your sins. The devil would drive you to despair, but the gospel calls you to obtain cleansing through Jesus Christ. You can have it. It's available to all. And you need it. And you need to give up this self-righteousness. You need to come with confusion of face, always in humble repentance to Jesus Christ. How else will our sins be dealt with except by this mercy and forgiveness? And then the child of God ought to trust and rest in his Redeemer and to be assured of his salvation, having been joined to Christ by faith and having put his trust in the Lord. He should have assurance and rest that he that believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And he not let you down, and he not disappoint you. He that believeth on him hath everlasting life. And you shall have joy and gladness. And you ought to have joy and gladness. Yes, we can never be self-righteous, and we can never, ever, ever play the part of a Pharisee in the presence of other sinners. But we can have the joy and gladness of the forgiveness of our sins. And always parallel with the remembrance of our utter emptiness of self-righteousness. And we should know that this property in the Lord and the obtaining of it through faith is the greatest incentive that there is to lead a good and holy life. This does not give license to sin, but rather, as the Bible says, there is forgiveness with thee to be obtained, that thou mayest be feared. And so it doesn't lead to license, but the obtaining of this property through God's grace leads to reverence and gratitude and humility and appreciation. And so let us remember these three heads tonight. The righteousness of God, the sinfulness of our hearts, and yet the rich mercy and forgiveness in Jesus Christ, freely available to us sinners if we repent and believe in him.